Growing up, there were multiple occasions where my dad referred to me as Fireball. About 15 years ago, not long before he died, I decided to ask him why he did that. I never knew. I guessed, I surmised, but I never knew. I thought, I suspected that my dad intended Fireball as some type of compliment. Dad said he referred to me as Fireball because I was so slow. If Dad wanted to go hunting or fishing at the crack of dawn, at least to his recollection, I was often late. Well, apparently the military sped me up in some ways. But in the early years, I was allegedly slow. When it comes to God, sometimes I think his people see him as slow. In previous studies, we have examined God from the perspective of his ability to operate in the nick of time. Building on those preceding lessons, tonight we want to look at the idea that sometimes, at least from our perspective, God acts in slow motion. Now, before we think about perhaps the slowness of God, we do want to give consideration to the fact that God is able to act very, very quickly. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 27, Jesus said, "For as the lightning comes forth from the east and is seen even under the west, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man." Lightning is quick. Lightning is instant. And that is how Jesus pictures God acting in Matthew 24 and verse 27. Also, as you look at the life of Jesus, you find that Christ sometimes refers to God acting immediately. You see Jesus acting immediately when it came to healing people, dealing with various situations. You see the idea of immediacy also in the 1 Corinthians letter, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 22, when Paul talks about the end of time. He says, "In a moment, immediately, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." In spite of God saying that he is able to act quickly, he's able to act like lightning, sometimes Christians, as they go through life, they perhaps see God as functioning more like a turtle than lightning. There are Christians who sometimes will pray and pray. They might ask for months or years, sometimes decades, so they're waiting for their prayer to be answered, and it seems like God is acting so slowly. There are people who, perhaps if they're a Christian, they're praying about a job. They need a job. They want a job. Maybe they're looking for a different job. Maybe they're out of work. And as they pray, they're thinking that God will act that day or maybe act that week, and it doesn't seem like the prayer is answered anytime soon. There are other people, they're praying for a boyfriend. They're praying for a girlfriend. They're praying for a spouse. And that prayer continues for an extended period of time and does not seem to be answered quickly. Other people, they're sick. And they believe that as a Christian, God will hear their prayers, and that is a correct belief, but they seem like they're sick, or it seems like they can never get better. Jesus must have had some of those same thoughts. Maybe not to the same degree that we do, but those ideas must have at least crossed his mind. Can you imagine you're coming to earth as deity in the flesh, and you have to wait about 30 years before you can really start doing what you want to do in public ministry? It must have seemed like God was acting so slow in his life. If you've ever read through the book of John, one of the words that hopefully you've noticed is this word which is translated hour or time. That is a really key, a really significant word. It is a key word in John's writings, especially the book of John. Time and time again, as you read through John, that's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, that one, you find this idea of hour or time. Jesus sometimes said, "My hour is not yet come. This is not the right time for this or that." The idea that God acts slowly has been around, it's been on the minds of people for a long, long time. We know that because 2,000 years ago, Peter was aware of some people. They were heretics, they were false teachers, they were apostates, but they were talking about the idea of God moving slowly. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4, these heretics were saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? For from the day that the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." In their mind, again, God, if he was moving, if he was doing anything, he was moving very, very slowly. And this was a reason that the heretics were criticizing God. In their mind, it seemed like God was moving so slowly, things never changed. As human beings, our time on earth is obviously limited. We, as we go through life, and this has perhaps always been true for people, we want to see results, and we want to see those results quickly. I don't know about you, but I suspect that most people, if they utter a prayer, they're hoping, they're expecting, they're believing that God will act probably sooner rather than later. We want God to pay attention to something immediately and act in a prompt way. But one of the truths, one of the great truths, and one of the important truths that we sometimes forget about God is that sometimes his timetable is not our timetable, and he may move at a relatively slow pace. James had some readers who apparently needed this truth reinforced in their lives. So when James gets to the last chapter in his book, James 5 and verse 7, he says, therefore, he's drawing a conclusion. He says to his readers, I want you to be patient. Be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. There are people in life who would not make good farmers. There are a lot of people in life who would not be good farmers. Imagine living in an area like ours where you have some months out of the year where you really can't do anything with the ground. Imagine being a farmer and there are some years where you simply have to let your land lie at rest. You can't do anything with it. Or imagine planting seed and not having an immediate harvest. If you are someone who needs to have instant results in your life, being a farmer is not going to be a good job for you. Or imagine being a farmer and you're doing everything right and you're hoping for rain and this year is not a good year. You think, well, next year is going to be a good year. And you might have 2, 3, or 4 off years. You have to be patient because it is a slow process. When it comes to the spiritual part of life, just like we have in James chapter 5 and verse 7, God says, I'm giving you a warning. I am telling you that there may be some times in my life where I act, at least from your perspective, in a slow way. The Bible has a number of illustrations to demonstrate this particular point for us. Let's start with the time between Malachi and Matthew. There was a substantial amount of time. If you're not familiar with that period, that was a period of about 400 years between Malachi and the coming of John the Baptist. Now, if you take that 400-year period, that was enough time for there to be about 15 generations. Can you imagine being part of that 400-year period? You're thinking about God. You've heard about God. You've read about the prophets. You've heard about the prophets. And it seems like God is moving so slowly. It seems like God is perhaps dead. It seems like God is not doing anything at all. His actions, if he's doing anything, it seems like he's crawling rather than walking or running. Now, remember one of the previous slides from 2 Peter talked about the heretics, and they were suggesting to people that God was really not doing very much. He was moving slowly. Let's go back to 2 Peter chapter 3 and pull out one more passage from that text. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Peter specifically talks about the slowness, quote unquote, of God in that ninth verse. He says, the Lord, God is not slow. He denies that God is slow. And then he gives a specific illustration. He says, God is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness. But God is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but that all should come to repentance. Peter talks about the slowness of God, quote unquote, and then he gives us some additional information. Peter says, it might appear like God is acting in a slow way, but he says, I want you to realize, you need to understand that there is a reason for his delay. There are times in life where it is better to be slow rather than fast. Several years ago, my dad was using some of the fast change oil lube shops. And he got to the point one day where he said, I'm not going to go back. I'm not going to use those shops anymore. Yes, their service is fast. Yes, I can get in and out. But he came to the conclusion that some of those shops were just too quick. The guys who promised 10 minutes in and out, they would either forget to put in the drain plug, and that's obviously a little bit of a problem if you run out of oil. Or they would go ahead and they would hurry to get the drain plug in and they would over-tighten it. And employees were creating some problems and doing some serious damage to vehicles. God is never someone who is going to be in a rush. If something requires 5 minutes, God's willing to take those 5 minutes. If something takes 5 years, God says, I can be patient and I will be patient. I will wait 5 years. If something takes 5,000 years, again, God says, that's perfectly fine. We're going to wait it out. You might get impatient. You might not believe that that long of time is necessary, but God says, that is how long I'm going to wait. We've abbreviated some names here because of the space that we have in a slide, but I'll go ahead and identify them. As you think about Abraham, you find that he had a biological son that, of course, was Isaac. Isaac, Genesis chapter 21 and verse 5, rather, tells us that Isaac was born when Abraham was 100 years old. Have you ever known of someone who prayed for a child? I've known of a few people in my life, and perhaps they were Christians, perhaps not. But there have been some people who have prayed for a baby, the baby didn't come, and after a while, they gave up. Imagine praying for a child. You really want a baby, and you have not yet, at this point in your life, been able to conceive. If you've not conceived within a year, would you still be praying? Would you still be believing? After a year, a lot of people would say, we've given up. We've been praying. We've tried to live a good life. And after the year, God has not answered our prayer, so God must not exist, or he doesn't care about the pregnancy. He doesn't care whether or not we have a baby or something else. Abraham's experience, he was 100 years old before God fulfilled the promise to him that he was going to have a child. It must have seemed like in his lifetime that God was sure taking his sweet time. God's people need to realize that slow is not equivalent to no when we're dealing with God. Slow also does not mean that we're being cheated. It doesn't mean that we're being left out by God. And it doesn't mean that we're going to get the scraps. At some point, we're going to get a few leftovers. Number two, J for Joseph. Joseph, you may remember, was told that he was going to rule over his brothers. Can you imagine that promise? Can you imagine what he must have thought when he went to sleep the night after that promise was made to him? If someone today were to make that promise to you that you were going to rule over a significant number of people, that probably would take a little time to digest. And after you've digested that promise, you might be thinking, well, scratch your head a little bit and think, how long will it be before that promise is fulfilled? I think a lot of people, if that promise were made to them, they would say, I'd be willing to wait 6 months. I think 6 months is a reasonable amount of time for God's promise to be fulfilled, so I'll wait half a year. How many people do we know who would wait 5 years for that promise to be fulfilled? I can't name too many. If the person received that promise and they had to wait 10 years, how many people do you know who would be willing to wait 10 years? Would we be willing to wait 10 years? If that promise took 20 years to be fulfilled, and it may have taken that long, would not most people have stopped waiting by that 20th year? I think the answer to that question is yes. You see, sometimes God, from our perspective, moves slowly because the time is just not right. It also appears, perhaps, that God moves slowly, at least to us, to help prove our character. Having people wait is a great way to prove what a person is really like. If someone has to get into the grocery store line and they have to wait 2 minutes, most people can handle that. But what about 20 minutes? What about an hour? What about half a day? You want to see the ugliness of people come out? You want to see the lack of toleration? You want to see a person's true character tested? That will do it. The descendants of Abraham, how long did they have to wait? At least 400 years. God was moving. God was active. But at least 400 years had to pass, and that seems like an awfully long time to us. At least it does to me. God may move slowly sometimes in the lives of people, and people can't really see from their perspective what God is doing, even though he's very, very active. When we seek God's help, I suspect, and I put myself in this category as well, I would rather see God's help sooner rather than later. I think that most people probably reason in that same way. Turning now to our D, that's David. As you look at David, he of course was told that he was going to be king over the nation of Israel. Now imagine God saying to you one day, you're going to be king. You're going to be king over this mighty nation. Now, if someone were to make that promise to us, what would you be thinking? Well, I probably would be wondering, how soon is that promise going to be fulfilled? I'm all for that. That sounds great. Is that going to be tomorrow? Should we schedule the coronation for noon, God? Well, it's not going to be tomorrow. Okay, well, that's fine. If it's not on Monday, maybe it's going to be on Saturday. Let's just push it to the end of the week. That's fine. And if it's not by the end of the week, surely it's going to be by the end of the year, right, God? David received that news, but it took a long time before he assumed the throne. As you look at his life, it looks like he spent about 7 years fleeing from Saul. Here's the promise. And for approximately 7 years, he's going from cave to cave, running from place to place. His life is in jeopardy for 7 years. How would you feel if that would have been you? Would you have felt like God had lied? Would you have felt like God abandoned you? That you had somehow misunderstood the promise? That God had somehow misspoken and that was never going to happen? After that promise, it took about 14 years before David was anointed king and installed as king. Now, after David finally gets to the throne, he probably looked back and thought, wow, that was slow. 14 years. And that was hard. And that 14-year period, that involved more than I could have ever imagined. But it finally happened. And in the end, David must have looked at that experience and said, it's been worth it. Not what I expected, could not have anticipated all the things that happened, and it did seem like God was moving so slowly, but in the end, it was worth it. So many people fail in their spiritual life because they never understand, they never hear that from their perspective, God may work slowly. Even when Jesus came to this earth, he illustrated that God sometimes works in a slow way. Do you remember John chapter 11, the information about Lazarus? That's the last point that we have here on the slide, the L. John chapter 11 tells us that Lazarus was sick. He had a sickness which killed him. Jesus could have come before Lazarus died, and he could have healed him, but he didn't do that. The Lord delayed. He allowed death to end his friend's life. He was slow as far as his response, but he was slow because there was a divine purpose. What we're describing as far as God's slowness, sometimes it can be a little frustrating. We're thinking, I wish God would have done this sooner. I wish he would have sped things up, and no big deal in the end. I'm just a little frustrated. But there can be other times where if God seems to be functioning in a slow way, it looks like it's going to be a life-altering event for us. And in the most extreme cases, when it seems like God is slow, it can seem like God has forgotten us, or it can seem like it is too late. Most of us have been in traffic at some point. Maybe we're on an interstate. Maybe we're in town. Perhaps we were late. Perhaps we were just trying to get to some place on time, and traffic stopped, or traffic was significantly slowed. When that happens, people are generally frustrated. We expect the traffic is going to move at the pace that we normally have, but when it's slowed or when it stopped, generally that's something that is a little frustrating. But you know what almost always happens? There are exceptions. But usually after traffic is again started and sped up, we see a little later that there is road construction that we didn't know about, or we see that there is an accident that we did not anticipate, and we learn, we say, oh, I understand now. The slowness, it was not due to maliciousness. It was not due to the fact that people were uncaring when it came to backed up traffic, but there was a reason for the slowness. And such is also true when it comes to the spiritual realm. What happens to us when traffic is slowed or stopped is often a good illustration for the slowness of God. There are a lot of reasons why God may act in a slow way. In John chapter 11 and verse 40, going back to Lazarus, we find there that Jesus said, and this is kind of a, not even a paraphrase, but a summary of the thought. Jesus says, I acted slowly to glorify God. I didn't come and heal him before he died, so God would be glorified. All of us have situations in our life where we would say, we would come to the conclusion after we've seen how events unfolded, we say, I'm glad that this did not happen sooner. I wanted this to be quicker. I wanted this to happen before it did, but I'm so glad it didn't happen when I wanted it to happen. Because of the delay, things have turned out so much better. Divine delay can also strengthen our faith. When you look at the people on this slide, they had some significant delays. There was a lot of slowness. And yet, as you go back and you start looking at them, Abraham, Joseph, the 400 years in Egyptian bondage, David, the situation with Lazarus, the faith in each case of the people was strengthened. Having to wait on God when he seems to be moving slowly can help us mature in our faith. There's an interesting passage in the book of Exodus, and this is not the only place that we find it, but as we think about the passage, setting up the verse as far as what's there, you may remember that God told his people, you're going to go into this land, and there are going to be various ites, the Ammonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, and God says, all these people have to go. Now, I don't know about you, but if that were me, God said, you're going to go into this land, and all these people have to go, my thinking would be, God, just wipe them out. You've got the power, you've got the ability, just go and clean house, and then we'll move in, and everything is going to be great. Do you know that God specifically said, I'm not going to do that? Do you know when it came to the various ites that God said at least twice in the Old Testament, I'm going to move, but I'm going to move slowly? Let's take a look at it. Exodus 23 and verse 29. God says, I will not. God said to his people, do not expect this. I will not drive them out. That is these ites. I will not drive them out before you in a single year. Why? If I do that, God says, the land is going to become desolate. And the beasts of the field will be too numerous for you. God says, this is not the right way to remove the people from the land. It's got to be a slow process. Now, from a human standpoint, that's probably not how we would reason. That's not the conclusion that we would come to. But this was so important that it's also in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 22. And Jehovah thy God will cast out those nations before thee. They will be evicted. But God says it's going to be little by little. The process has to be a slow process. Why? That thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beasts of the field increase upon thee. When it comes to God and what we deem to be slowness, that can be frustrating. It can be frustrating for a lot of people. But as Christians, we should see and understand that God's ability to do things slowly is really a blessing instead of a curse. God has never been a being who's going to rush things. His willingness to act slowly benefits in some other ways, us in some other ways as well. Imagine if God says, all right, I'm this hurry up God. If you become a Christian, you've got to know everything by the end of the week. I'm glad he's never treated me that way. I'm glad he doesn't treat anybody that way. He says, I'm willing to be patient. I'm willing to take all the time that is necessary. And that means that he gives his people time to grow, mature, and become more knowledgeable about the faith. God is slow with us in the sense that he's patient. It can be difficult to wait on God, but God says, that's what I want you to do. A long time ago, someone said this, and it's a great summary. God's delays are not God's denials. Take that statement and file that away in your mind if you're a Christian. God's delays are not God's denials. They're normally the means which God uses to prepare us for something better. When God seems to be functioning or acting slow in your life, think about a crock pot. Something good is likely cooking. You just have to be willing to be patient. That's a hard truth to understand, especially for a young Christian. That is a hard truth to accept, especially when we really want something. But God says, I've got something on the stove. And maybe it has to stay in the back burner for a while. Will we be thankful as we prepare to close out another year and begin a new one for the God who knows when to act fast and when to act slow? When you pray, be thankful for a God who is willing to take the time to act slowly. Tonight, you know that God. We hope you do. We hope you're one of his people. We hope you trust him enough to believe that when things need to move forward in a fast way, he can do that. And when the opposite's true, he does that as well. If you don't know him and you want to, tonight you have that opportunity as we stand and sing.